going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Hi, this is Father Tom Burke of the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh, and welcome to Catholic Education Plus on KDK Radio. This show spotlights the important work of Catholic education in our Catholic schools and parish faith formation programs. Catholic Education Plus is brought to you by the generous supporters of Catholic education, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh in southwestern Pennsylvania.
And this morning we pay visit to Mary of Nazareth Catholic School, which is located in White Oak. Mary of Nazareth was founded back in 2012 in a merger between St. Joe's Regional Catholic School in Portview, which was established in 1984, and the former St. Angela Merici School, which opened its doors back in 1961. Mary of Nazareth Catholic School is known for its faith-centered academic instruction. The gospel message, worship, and social concerns are also integrated into the total learning experience of the students, faculty, and staff. Students from 9 school districts attend Mary of Nazareth as part of the Pittsburgh East Regional Catholic School System. And my guests this morning are Linda McFarland, who is the longtime principal of Mary of Nazareth Catholic School, and Mary Beth Crossan, who teaches 8th and 6th grades. Linda and Mary Beth, welcome this morning to Catholic Education Plus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you for having us.
And as we are now in January, the start of the new year, kids are back in school after the Christmas and New Year's break. So we're back into the gear and getting ready for Catholic Schools Week coming up. Linda, this is your 20th school year at Mary of Nazareth. Previously, you led Catholic elementary schools in Carnegie and in South Park. Why is Catholic education so important from your viewpoint?
Well, something I believe in wholeheartedly. All schools can teach, and Catholic schools teach in a faith-based environment. So if you're only teaching what's in a classroom, which is a box, you only learn what's in a box. But faith can't be put in a box. So faith expands everything that we do, so that we are learning all of the academia embraced in a faith environment.
So it's very important for you. It's
extremely important.
And 20th school year, that's quite a dedication. Huh? Good for you. And Linda, faith development is also a big focus for your students and the community. And you spread the gospel through a living nativity scene and outdoor scenes. Can you describe that? Because that's pretty interesting.
Well, this past Christmas, we had the students who were our actors, and they were depicting the gospel. The gospel message, and we had scenes from the beginning of Angel Gabriel announcing the birth of Jesus to Mary, and all the way through to the Nativity, and the kids were all the different scenes. It was a drive-through display, and we had the scenes complete with all the animals at the Nativity. We had the donkey, we had cows and sheep as would have been in the barn.
Oh wow!
And
They just outside?
We did it outside,
okay.
Yes.
So it'd be like Olga Bay or Hartwood Acres, like people drive past the streets of White Oak to see the kids
They actually drive up one side of the driveway, back around, and down the other side of the driveway.
Great.
And at the end, of course, we collect what anybody wants to offer. And this year, our donations all went to a preschool in Haiti. The preschool is operated by the Apostles of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and their school was completely destroyed, and they're working on rebuilding it.
Because of the storms, the tropical storms and the hurricanes.
Correct. So that's where we sent our money this year.
And the kids had fun doing it.
The kids love it.
And helped
the
with a good cause.
Correct.
Now, Mary Beth, you've been teaching at Mary of Nazareth for the past 6 years, and all five of your children attended that school. So you really have a connection, a vested interest in that school, in that building. Why are you so committed to this place and in Catholic education in general?
When my husband and I bought our house, we specifically chose White Oak because we wanted that, at the time, school parish experience that was unique to St. Angela. And though we're no longer a parish school, I think the charisms that St. Angela had as a school have continued on and have even grown as part of Mary of Nazareth. I was raised in Catholic schools. My parents went to Catholic schools. My husband, his parents. And we wanted to give that same gift to our children, the values that are taught, the faith. Everything we do is rooted in our faith, and this was just one more way to live out our faith by sending our children there.
Now, teaching there for the past 6 years, how is that feel that, because all your kids walked through those schools, through the hallways, and now you're on the other side of the desk, so to speak, not a parent, but now part of the faculty. How is that, being so vested in the school, in the building?
I think that the values and the faith that are embedded and embodied in the school are what make it so wonderful. And so to be there as a parent, I remember when Ms. McFarland came as principal, and to be now on the faculty, it's just been a natural evolution because this is so important to who I hope my children have become in their lives. The success that they've achieved has come through St. Angela, Mary of Nazareth, and then on to Catholic high school. And they will tell you that, which is a beautiful thing as they become adults, that so much of what they learned and how they can deal with the world beyond, you know, school has been rooted in what they got there.
So, Mary Beth, you understand the sacrifices that parents make to send their children, especially you had five that went through the Catholic school system because of the value. Does that make you feel good when your kids say, Mom, Dad, thanks for helping me out? And it makes it worthwhile after all these years.
It is worth every sacrifice that we made as parents to make sure that our children had those values and that faith. And to immerse them in a Catholic culture so that everything we've done has been centered around the church. You know, their sports activities were centered through the school, and their musical activities have been centered through the school, and they've carried those values and lived that faith into their adulthood.
That's great. Now, Linda, you've been finding new ways to get grandparents involved in passing along the faith. Obviously, it's important for parents, but also grandparents. Can you tell our listeners about your initiative called the Generations Project?
Yes, we have discovered that our parents, who are the promoters of the faith, or should be the promoters of the faith, have quite a limited experience of faith. Church is no longer high on their list. But we wanted to make sure that our children could put church a little higher on the list. And we found that a lot of our children are being exposed to the faith through their grandparents. So I wanted to use that as a springboard to allow our kids to see why faith is important to their grandparents. So we asked all grandparents in all the parishes that support us to write a 50 words or less, a little expose on faith or something about the faith that they would want their grandchildren to know or to understand. And remarkably, we have, I think there were 76 people who responded with these little snippets of faith. And so what we're in the process of doing right now is those are all going to be bound into a book called Generations. And we're going to bring the grandparents and their grandchildren together at an event and the grandchildren are going to be the ones who read to their grandparents what they wrote. So all the kids will be able to read from the book something that their grandparents wrote for them.
Kind of like normally the grandparent would read a book to their grandchild, but now the students are
correct
reading to their grandparent. What a great right idea.
Yeah.
Plus it also gives the grandparents some type of reflection on
right
their vested interest too.
And hopefully what it does also is the parents of the children, who would be the grandparents'
sure
children, are going to read this little article on faith and say, wow, this really meant something to my mom or to my dad.
Pass it on.
And pass it on.
Yeah.
So we kind of use the grandparents as a springboard to pass faith on to the kids.
And the parents of the children learn from their parents.
Correct.
They pass on. Now, Mary Beth, what are the different subjects that you teach, and how do you integrate the faith into those subjects?
Well, I teach 8th grade religion, so that's an easy
that's
integration.
Right.
But I also teach English language arts for 6th grade and 8th grade, and I also teach social studies. So the way I integrate the faith is every one of my classes starts with prayer, and I use different prayers. I use the St. Teresa of Avila, let nothing disturb you. We use the peace prayer of St. Francis. We use St. Francis's prayer before the crucifix, and each class knows those because I think those particular prayers give them something to lean on as they approach those high school years, especially, you know, just a basis of the faith. We also use a St. Augustine prayer for the Holy Spirit. So I always start class with prayer. They know that. That's
right
how we
from
start
the beginning, even
every
in
every single class,
even
every single
sites
subject.
Not just religion.
No. Because that's one way I want to say, without proclaiming it so directly,
sure,
faith is important in all subjects. And then anytime, it's so actually easy to integrate the faith into the subject areas. Like for social studies, we were talking about immigration in the 1800s. Mm. Well, the students aren't really familiar with the fact that Catholicism, which is so common to them in their world, was something that they was not welcomed in the colonies and then later in the United States,
sure,
and how now it's common, but then it wasn't. And so it's an easy thing to talk about. Or in literature, when we talk about we read the Diary of Anne Frank and all the Jews, people who suffered, we can also talk about Maximilian Kolbe and what he also suffered and others suffered. And stood up for their faith in difficult times. So it's really rather easy because it's such a part of who we are as a school.
And that's a gift that you have to craft that, to say, hey, this isn't just in religion class, but English, but social studies. You can blend that, like you mentioned about the Holocaust or Auschwitz or the founding of the United States of America, that, you know, Catholics were a minority back then. The Puritans were here. It was mainly a Protestant country, and our children probably just don't know the history of that and say, wow, we're very blessed now in 2020 that we have that freedom of religion and express that.
Correct. And they're just not aware of that.
Yeah.
There's a reason Maryland is named Maryland and what that has to do
Mary
with
Maryland.
Yes.
See, it's social studies and religion blended together.
Absolutely.
We'll take a break. We'll be back in a moment on KDK Radio. And welcome back to Catholic Education Plus. I'm Father Tom Burke, the pastor of the newly established parish, St. Mary Magdalene Parish in Point Breeze, the East End in Wilkinsburg. And this morning we are featuring Mary of Nazareth Catholic School, which is located not too far from me, out in the White Oak, McKeesport area. And we're talking to Linda McFarland, who is the principal of Mary of Nazareth, and Mary Beth Crossan, who teaches 6th and 8th grade. And Linda, the newest parish in your area is Mary Mother of God, and
right,
Father Terry O'Connor is my classmate. He is your pastor. And we were just talking when we were coming into the KDK studios this morning how now we have the brand new parishes, like I'm now at St. Mary Magdalene Parish, and Father Terry is now at Mary Mother of God.
Right.
Now, bringing together the four parishes in White Oak, McKeesport, East McKeesport, and Versailles, you also draw students from other parishes. And I used to be the pastor at Good Shepherd and Braddock. My best friend, Father Steve Krizak, was the pastor at the former Corpus Christi Parish in McKeesport. So I know the Mon Valley very well. Can you tell us how you bring such a diverse group to Mary of Nazareth Catholic School?
Actually, it's been a learning process for us, Father. When we were St. Angela Merici, it was pretty much an upper-class socioeconomic
sure
area, and that has changed quite a bit as the parishes have changed in their diversity also. So we have taken a look at, all right, these are the children God gave us. So how are we going to meet their needs? And I have to tell you that my staff is really terrific at making sure that all kids are treated equally. There is never any distinction made because some are haves and some are have-nots. And I think it's a good safe zone for them. The kids feel comfortable with each other. So that has been a really good thing for us. And the other part of our diversity is that we have the St. Anthony's program.
Right, and I'm the chaplain to the St. Anthony's program, which is a wonderful program for special needs students.
That has really made a great difference in our school environment. At the beginning, it was the kids were a little afraid of the St. Anthony's kids.
Because they're in the classroom with,
they're right in
with
classroom,
the students.
Yes. But right now, anybody that's new that would ever come in and say anything about the St. Anthony's kids, our kids are so protective.
Wow.
So the St. Anthony's kids are just such an intricate part of us as a school and us as a diverse environment. It allows us to show our faith on a whole different level.
I think that's so important, too.
Yeah. On a whim, kind of.
Right. So different economic backgrounds, different ethnicities, plus St. Anthony children, all integrate. What a beautiful melting pot
it is.
That
so
is.
It's kind of its own little world. Mm-hmm. And the neat thing for us is that it all works. So if it can work in our little tiny world, you know, what do we need to do to make it work in the big world?
Absolutely.
So it can work.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mary Beth, you work with many dedicated parents and volunteers. Why is their involvement so important to your education ministry?
Well, the beauty of Catholic schools and the necessity of Catholic schools is that parents have to be involved. It is just integral for our schools to exist. Fundraising is a reality, and it's important. And the parents at Mary of Nazareth have really stepped up and supported the school, because without that fundraising, and no Catholic school
exists. That's the heartbeat of the school. That's what keeps it going.
Right. But it also creates community, because you get to know other parents, and you get to know not just the parents of your child's classmates, but all the parents of the school. And it just becomes de rigueur of what is expected of a Catholic school parent. I have a daughter who teaches in public school, and they had conferences, and there was a two-hour window, and she had 74 students, and how was that going to possible to see all those parents? And I was panicking for her, and she had four parents show up. And not that public schools don't do a good job, because they do, but in Catholic schools, every parent shows up for conferences. It's what you do. You're invested in your child's education, and you're there, and you're involved, and that's what helps the child succeed.
And the teachers know the parents. They know their students. It's like a family.
It absolutely is.
You're not just a number.
No. It's what we are all together in this. Mm-hmm. And I think the parents know that we understand they're loaning us their child for a short time, but they're the ones to day in and day out, year after year. That's their child, and they're just actually, in my opinion, blessing us with the short time that we get to educate them and about all parts of life, including, most importantly, the faith.
Now, Linda, you've served in Catholic schools for more than four decades, and there have been a lot of changes over that period of time. I look at my own ministry and Father Terry O'Connor, my classmate, your pastor. We were talking just recently about things have changed in our parish since we've been ordained for 18 years. What has changed that you've seen, and what's been the constant change over a period of time, and how do you adapt to that?
Well, I think the thing that's been the constant is the Eucharist. Our faith is wrapped around the Eucharist. So when we are proclaiming that faith in our classrooms, we're basically proclaiming the Eucharist, and that is the constant. That's what never will change. As far as the way education is going, education, like everything else, has its ups and downs, and its coined phrases and all those kind of things. And we try to stay, you know, abreast with all that, but we always fall back on this education that we teach is a ministry. It's not just a job. And so the part of that stays constant, that's unchangeable, is the Eucharist, which is what our faith is built around.
The center of our faith.
Right.
And that's one thing that doesn't change.
Never.
No, Mary Beth, Catholic Schools Week starts next Sunday. That's hard to believe, and I'm sure the kids are geared up for that.
Very much so.
And for parents who have been considering a Catholic education for their children, Catholic Schools Week is a wonderful opportunity for families to kind of come in and window shop. And what advice would you offer for some parents or grandparents listening this morning?
Well, I would say, first of all, don't be afraid of the commitment and the sacrifice that will be asked of you as a parent. Mm-hmm. It can be a little intimidating, especially if it's your first child going into school. So don't be afraid of that. And don't be afraid of the standards that your child will be held to. You want what's best for your child. And we know that in Catholic education, we have the statistics to prove how effectively we educate the children, the whole child. I think the other thing is that the church considers the parents the first and most primary educators of their mm-hmm. children. And we know that we are being given the opportunity and the responsibility to continue that in the schools, but that it falls to the parents. But we like to support what the parents are doing. And so to take that risk and to really consider at Catholic education. Often in Catholic Schools Week, I know for us, at Mary of Nazareth, we have an open house. And we love when people come in and see what we're about
Take
and what
tour,
we have to offer. Please. Shop,
window
we love
shop,
it.
So to speak.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, Linda, what do you have lined up for next week for Catholic Schools? And how can families get in touch with you?
Well, families can get in touch with us by calling the school at 412-672-2360. And every day of Catholic Schools Week is a fun day. So it's really not a week where we spend a whole lot of time with books.
It's like one big party all week.
Right. We're celebrating the fact that we have these students under our care, and we want it to be a fun week for them because the curriculum is rigorous, and, mm-hmm. and the kids are working hard all the rest of the year. So we have activities that are outside the school as well as activities inside the school. Usually we take the whole entire school bowling.
Bowling?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
We go bowling.
Right down there in White Oak?
Yes.
Bowling things?
Yes.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We have assemblies coming in. We have ice cream sundaes that they get to make their own.
Nice.
Sometimes a game day in the classroom.
Correct. So all of those things are what's going on.
It's a fun week.
It's a fun week, yes.
It's a fun week. We hold on tight, but it's a fun week.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the parents and the grandparents get involved too to help out.
We couldn't do it without
couldn't
them.
Couldn't do it
right.
without them, yeah.
Right.
The setup, the cleanup, just coordinating bowling, you know.
Exactly.
Taking the kids there and
right.
the ice creams
right.
and socials and
right.
lots of great things
right.
to go. Sounds like a fun
time. Yeah, stop by.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
Linda McFarland, Mary Beth Crossan, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you
for having us.
We'll be back in a moment. This week in our Plus segment, we're featuring a discernment group for men ages 18 to 40. This is going to be held next Sunday, January the 26th at St. Paul's Seminary, starting at 9:30 a.m. We're going to have Mass, brunch, a discussion, and Eucharistic adoration. This is a wonderful way as we begin the new school year, a new year, discerning for men ages 18 and 40. What do you want to do in your life? And it's kind of like an open house. So it's a discernment group. Sponsored by the St. Joseph's Guild for men ages 18 to 40, being held next Sunday, January the 26th at St. Paul's Seminary. That's located at 2900 Noblestown Road in the Greentree Crafton area. There will be Mass, brunch, a discussion, and adoration. Just a great Sunday to spend time with other men 18 to 40 who might be discerning a call to the priesthood or religious life. So next Sunday, January 26th at 9:30 at St. Paul Seminary. To register, visit pghpriest.com. That's pghpriest.com. A open house, men ages 18 and 40, next Sunday, January 26th. We'll see you there.
Thank you for listening to Catholic Education Plus, and thanks again to our supporters, including Sam and Judy Spanos and the Catholic Diocese of Pittsburgh. I'm Father Tom Burke. Join us again in 2 weeks at 6:30 right here on KDKA Radio.